Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Physical eyesight depends on light. And without light, there is no sight. The visual ability of humans and animals is a result of a complex interaction of light entering the eye and being turned into electric signals being sent to the brain, and then the brain deciphering these signals, producing the image that you see in your head. But without light, there is no image. There is no sight. Doctors describe those who are totally blind as having no light perception. For the person who has been blind from birth, you and I might think that the only color that they can see is black, because black is what you and I perceive to be when there's nothing there to see, when all light is absent. But for the blind person, the absence of light is all they have ever known. They have no other visual experience to compare against the blackness. To the blind, various colors, including black, are a verbal concept that must be associated with certain smells and tastes and sounds and feelings. Blindness is a theme that runs throughout Isaiah's prophecy. Speaking through the prophet, the Lord God characterizes both those who are idolatrous and those who have turned their backs on him as blind. They had become like the false gods that they worshipped. Their idols had eyes, but those eyes could not see. And this was what he was telling the Israelites that they were like. The Israelites complained in turn that, well, God didn't see them. But quite the opposite was true. It was their idolatry that made them unable to see God. There's something far worse than experiencing physical blindness, and that is spiritual blindness. In our Old Testament reading this morning, the prophet Isaiah announces God's rebuke of Israel for their spiritual blindness. But he also announces God's promise, the promise that he would lead them and light the way for them in a way and to remain to be with his people. And just as God promises to lead the Israelites, to lead the blind Israel in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, our Heavenly Father has sent us Christ Jesus to lead his disciples of all times along the path and way to eternal life. In our gospel text this morning, St. Paul tells the story of a man who was born blind. And it immediately causes speculation among the disciples. They're wondering, well, whose sin is it? When someone had a disease or sickness, it always, in that time, they thought that it was someone's sin. Even though God commanded through Moses that every person stands before God by faith and the condition of their heart, many people believed that the child bore the punishment for the sins of the parents, or at least the punishment of their own sins. So the disciples are thinking that, well, since this child is born since birth, it had to be a sin of the parents, or perhaps somehow this child sinned while he was in the womb. And answering the disciples, Jesus, as he often does, springs a surprise. He reverses the tables on them. This man's blindness is due to neither this man nor his parents. It's not an either-or situation. It's nobody's fault. God did not cause it, but God is going to use it. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, it doesn't make sense to you and me, but the foolishness of God is always greater than the wisdom of mankind. And like he always does, Jesus doesn't answer the question that was posed to him, but instead he points to faith in salvation. The man is blind so that the works of God could be displayed in this man. Since he's blind, God is going to use his blindness to make God's glory visible to everyone who sees this man who is soon to be formerly blind. Now, we don't want to be deceived by the text. This does not mean that God caused this man to be blind so he could make an example of his suffering. God does not cause suffering. He does not create human suffering. Our God is a loving and compassionate God, and he works his will through your sickness, through your disease and your sufferings. His grace is sufficient for you, and his power is made perfect in weakness. Now, to be sure, all suffering, physical illness, and disabilities are an effect of living in a fallen and sinful world. Of course, some of your suffering might be due to your own poor decisions, poor lifestyle habits, smoking, drinking, overeating. And it is also true that children often repeat the sins of their parents. They see mom and dad do it, they do it, and they suffer the same consequences. But that does not mean that you or your children are being directly punished by God for a particular sin. This man's blindness is only one of the many, many symptoms of a deadly condition called sin. We could spend all day naming the many different sins, but every one of them are symptoms of our sinful nature. It's that old Adam who lives within us. Sin is not only what you do and what you do not do. Sin is who you are by nature. Far worse than being physically blind, the man in the text, and you and me, are spiritually blind. Due to that sin that has been inherited by all mankind from our ancestor Adam, the man, you and I, have no spiritual perception. We cannot perceive the true light. And without light, there is no sight. And the true light and spiritual illumination comes only from Jesus Christ, God's own Son and Savior of the world. In the chapter earlier, St. John records Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus, the Word, become flesh. He was with God all the way back in the beginning, forming Adam from the dust of the ground. And now in this text, this same Jesus who formed Adam from the dust spits into the dust and forms mud. And he anoints the man's eyes. And then Jesus tells the man, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Going all the way back to the early church fathers, this text has been viewed as for its baptismal overtones. Because you and I are born spiritually blind, we cannot see God on our own. We cannot see God for who he is, and therefore we also cannot see ourselves as sinners. We all think that we are pretty good. But you and I are born groping in the darkness. Now the light who is Christ, he shines upon you, but without eyes of faith, you cannot see the light. So God has to come to you and touch your eyes and wash them in the waters to which he sends you. The Siloam waters of holy baptism. And it is there that you were granted the eyes of faith, and you were illumined by the Holy Spirit. At the font, you received Christ, who is the light of the world. He dwells in you, and his light, his light shines through you. God's mercy is always greater than his wrath. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Even still, every day, fellow believers like you and me, they are sliding into spiritual darkness. Many feel they no longer need to attend the divine service and receive God's gifts through word and sacrament, even though Scripture tells us otherwise. There are others who do not want to hear the truth of sin and salvation. They can't stand the truth. They can't handle the truth because it hurts their feelings. It offends them. It makes them feel bad. People want to hear that they are basically moral and good, and that everyone goes to heaven, regardless of how they live. And you and I are also tempted to slide back into that spiritual darkness. That happens in those times when it seems like God does not answer your prayers as you wish, or not as quickly as you desire. It happens when disease and illness strikes you or your family member, and you do not understand why God doesn't heal that family member or you. You don't understand why you or they must suffer, forgetting that God uses your suffering to make his glory visible to everyone who sees you and how you live as a light of Christ. Apart from Christ, who is the light, you and I are left alone, being blind, deaf, and dumb, who are by nature sinful and unclean. The blind man never sought out Jesus, but Jesus came to him, anointing his eyes and removing his blindness. And afterwards, the formerly blind man recognized that if this man were not from God, he would still be blind. Only God could work a miracle that had happened to him. And the Pharisees threw the man out of the synagogue because of it. And when Jesus heard that he had been thrown out of the synagogue, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Like the blind man, you too were born blind, but you have been given the gift of light and the gift of sight. Although you were in your blindness of your sin, you now see. And by faith in Jesus, you have been justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. St. Paul puts it perfectly in our epistle text this morning, saying, "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." But you do not walk as children of the light to earn God's grace and merit. That's already won for you on Calvary's cross. No, you walk as children of the light because as a baptized child of God, you bear fruits of the light. Your good works and deeds flow naturally from the one who has been forgiven and illumined in Christ Jesus. Your spiritual eyesight depends upon the light. And without the light of Christ, there is no sight. God saw you trapped in the outer darkness of your sin, which separated you from him. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. He sent him into this world of darkness and blindness so that those who do not see might see. He was sent to enlighten the Gentiles. He was sent for the glory of his people, Israel. And because Christ's salvation is for all people, the light will come and shine upon every nation in the preaching of his gospel. Jesus comes to you in this place, in the divine service, and he shines the light of life through you in his word. He shines upon you his gift of forgiveness of sins through his body and blood and his holy supper. And it is Jesus who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in him you have forgiveness of sins, light, life, and eternal salvation. And this spiritual sight is a free gift to you. Oh, but it came at a great cost. Jesus carried humanity's blind sins to the cross. And in the darkness of Good Friday, he was put to death in your stead, paying the price of your sin with his precious blood. And as the light of Easter broke over the horizon, on Easter morning, the light broke over the horizon, there were shining angels in the tomb announcing the victorious victory over sin, death, and the grave. Christ had risen, and this risen Christ continually cures your spiritual blindness through his word and sacrament. Jesus is the light of the world. In him is life, and the light in the life is the light of men, and the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. It has not overcome it. Jesus brings light to the spiritually blind and all those living in darkness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, all who believe and trust in Jesus with eyes of faith are illumined and free to love and serve your neighbor just as God in Christ serves and loves you. And regardless of how good your physical sight is, because of Jesus, your spiritual sight has been perfected. Like the man who received his sight in today's text, by faith in Christ, you have spiritual sight, and you will live with your Savior forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.